hope by now, y'all realize that I support all families in every configuration. And believe me, the connection that gets created when folks sign on to raising the next generation is necessary payback for the hardest work you're ever going to do in your life. I celebrate and appreciate every parent who's doing this work. But for today's episode, I want to focus on men. The father experience is different from what it means to become a mother or become a parent. Because of cultural and societal constructs, some men feel challenged when it comes time to fully adapt to the role of dad. Men often end up feeling like the expectations of them as parents are either outdated or condescending. And too many of them continue to feel left out when it comes to parenting. Isn't it time to ask, what about the dads? Welcome. My name is Barb Buckner Suarez. For over two decades, I've worked as a childbirth educator and a couples coach, helping thousands of families say yes to parenting. I've got some thoughts about how life changes when we choose to become parents. Those thoughts may be irreverent, funny, or countercultural at times, but I promise you, they will always be real. Whether you're curious about starting a family, in the middle of your fourth pregnancy, or your birthing days are long over, raising the next generation is hard. And all of us could use a little more support. I want this to be a place where you can find that support. Because let's face it, birth happens. It's taken me a while to recognize that my family wasn't the norm when I was growing up. At a time when most dads were spending precious few minutes with their children outside of holidays or the annual family vacation, my dad was taking care of us from the moment he walked in the door after work until we went to bed. I'm one of six, y'all, and by the time 5 p.m. rolled around, my mom was done. So my dad took care of bathing us, getting our teeth brushed and jammies on, saying prayers, and tucking us into bed. When we were older, he was the one to go to for homework help. And while he was the final word when it came to discipline, I also remember going to both my mom and dad in equal measure when I needed emotional support or advice. To be sure, this was not by accident. My mom had been raised by a single father who knew how to iron her school uniform and put her hair in braids. My point is that my mom had no reason to question or doubt my dad's ability to parent in all of the ways that her own father had done when she was growing up. But this isn't a universal message. Even today, men continue to be seen as the secondary parent to their female counterpart, and then move back and forth between being praised for literally doing nothing else but wearing their newborn on their chest while taking the dog for a walk, and then being called the babysitter when mom is away. What the actual hell, y'all? This generation of fathers is more active than any previous generation, with the exception of my dad and grandpa, that is. But we're still needing to up our game when it comes to including and welcoming them into their role. Raising the next generation is hard, but less so if we have an equal and willing partner to shoulder the responsibilities. Recently, I read an article from the New York Times where the author, a new mom, wrote about the need to ask her partner for more help, her attempts to encourage her partner to show up and participate as a new dad, and the awesome example, she said, of leaving their three-month-old with her husband for a well-deserved break. This ended up being the push her partner needed to gain invaluable confidence in his own parenting abilities. These are the same strategies I share with the expecting and new parents I work with that can make the transition of becoming a family better for everybody. Really, the only issue I have with the article is its title, How I Trained My Husband to Be a Dad. The title of this article bugs me, and I'll tell you why. I keep getting stuck on that word, trained. Language messes with me sometimes. I feel words have a lot more power than we think they do. And when I run into a word that makes me stop in my tracks, I always circle back to figure out why. Now, I'm not going to assume anything about the author or her intentions, But when I read the title, I thought, oh, if I were an expecting or new dad, that would feel so condescending to me, which I admit is hugely triggering for me on a personal level. I hate condescension. And if I were an expecting or new mama, that title might suggest that I should be the parenting expert, teaching my partner all they need to know to be successful in their new role. And no thank you. I don't want that responsibility at all. Now, there are some of you who would read this article and say, she's right. I had to train my partner too. Otherwise, I'd still be doing all the work of parenting and he'd just be sitting around watching me do it. And still others might say, I wish I had trained him years ago because it's too late now and I'm stuck with all the responsibility of raising our children. But before you go there, I'd ask you to consider these three things first. Number one, parenting is hard, hard work. No one is born knowing how to do this thing. Parenting is something that each of us learns a little bit more about every single day. And even if you've been a professional nanny for the past decade, it's not the same as parenting your own baby 24/7. You want, you need an equal parenting partner to help you in this work. Unless, of course, you're an amazing single parent, getting it done day in and day out on your own. I sincerely hope you have the support of a large circle of family and friends helping you in this work. I'm in awe of you, for real. But if you feel like a trainer, then my friend, you've assumed the role of resident parenting expert. You've put yourself in the unenviable position of having to act as though you already know all the things. And this can make for a lot of pressure, and also for a very strange and unequal parenting partner relationship. Number two, not being physically pregnant puts dads at a disadvantage. They're playing catch up from an emotional mental aspect and are trying to make sense of what just happened to them. And yes, as the author states in her article, many new dads feel really, really helpless, at least initially. This gets compounded by the breastfeeding relationship because until the milk is flowing and feeding is going well, which takes at least 3 to 4 weeks, maybe longer depending on your circumstances, dads can feel a little bit like a third wheel to the new feeding parent baby dyad. Now, I know lots of new parents that would gladly give their partner at least one of their lactating breasts if it meant that they could get a break from the all-consuming task of feeding their newborn. Breastfeeding can feel like a full-time job, and putting the baby to the breast happens so often in the beginning that many dads feel like their contribution to the care of their new baby is insignificant in comparison. Number three, they just watched you kill it in labor and birth. No matter how your baby came into the world, vaginally or by cesarean, partners are usually in awe and maybe a little bit afraid of your power. They might be lulled into thinking that you're capable of doing it all on your own, that you really are the myth, the legend, superwoman in the flesh, and that you don't need their help. In fact, you don't need anybody's help. Some new mamas might also feel like this after the birth of their baby. It is pretty cool to realize what you're capable of and just how strong you are. But don't fool yourselves. You cannot do this all on your own. You can't. And the more you try, the harder it gets. So I agree 100% with the author that you absolutely need to ask your partner for help. But please, stop thinking that you must train them to be a good parent. Instead, acknowledge that they might be feeling out of their element. If your partner's a man, pregnancy and birth are so inherently female. Most nurses, doulas, midwives, and providers identify as women. And not to be too gender specific, but the birth might be the first time they've ever been in a room where they're the only dude. And they're super aware of this dynamic, even if they never speak about it. Listen, all the men that I know and work with want to be great dads. Just like all the women that I know and work with want to be great mamas. Y'all just want to be the best parents you can be. But this doesn't happen by accident. There's a lot of on-the-job training done by watching and learning from each other, but mostly from the baby. There are a lot of screw-ups. There are days when nothing goes right and everything goes wrong for both parents. But if you're the parent who gets a little more leave than your partner, please don't get me started on that rant, then you're the primary caregiver for your newborn while your partner works a job to support the family financially. This means that you get much more practice in all of the required parenting skills. And that's primarily what makes the difference between confident parenting and insecure parenting. Time and practice. These are two things that all of us need to get good at anything. Instead of training your partner to be a good parent, how about welcoming them into their new role as dad? And while we're at it, why don't you ask them to welcome you into your new role as mama? Allow yourselves to be vulnerable with one another. Take a risk and let each other know when you're feeling helpless or overwhelmed by this huge life transition of becoming parents. Admit to not knowing how to do this thing. No new parent, or experienced parent for that matter, knows how to parent the right way, because rarely is there an absolute right way to do any of it. There's just the way that works for you in your family. Asking for help lets your partner know just how much you need them. When they accept your help and not your training, they realize just how much they need you too. Knowing that you're needed and your help is necessary can be the best motivation for jumping in and doing the work. Your partner doesn't need to be trained. They just need the time, space, and trust from you that they'll learn how to do this in their own way. Figure this parenting gig out together. Be curious learners. Drop the title of expert. Be patient. You might have different strengths and skills. You might need more time and practice in certain areas. But remember, this is not a race. What you've signed on for is a lifelong commitment to raising the next generation. And you'll need a partner who's eager, enthusiastic, confident, and feels up to that monumental task. When your partner is self-motivated, when they've discovered their own way of doing things and are not just responding to being told how, when, and why to do something, training, they'll blow you away with their mad parenting skills. Bonus! You can stop pretending to be Superwoman. Bottom line, you can have a partner who's an amazing parent, better than you could have ever hoped for. And no training is required. I was very pregnant with my first and on a trip with Roberto to Boston for my goddaughter's baptism. Hours before the big event, I remember holding her sleeping body against mine when the urge struck. I had to pee. Now. Her parents weren't in the room at the time, and I was desperate. Roberto, can you please grab the baby from me? The look he gave was a mix of confusion and sheer terror. What do I do? He practically wailed. I snapped, just hold her. I have to pee. The handoff was clumsy and inelegant, but the transfer at last was complete. I started walking down the hallway to the bathroom when he whisper hissed, she's waking up. She's waking up. When I turned to look back, my husband was doing a move that looked like he was trying to win a limbo contest, and my wriggling goddaughter was slowly sliding down his chest. Oh no, I thought. We're having a baby in less than 2 months. This is not good. What if he holds our baby like that? Maybe you've had a similar experience. Your beloved partner looks extremely uncomfortable holding a friend's baby, and it isn't even a newborn. Or they tell anyone within earshot that they don't really like kids. Or you've seen them gag at just the thought of puke poop or blood. In any of these situations, you might have freaked out thinking to yourself that you're going to end up having to do this parenting thing mostly on your own. But fear not. Your partner has the potential to surprise you with their parenting in all sorts of ways, especially if you let them. Pregnancy, birth, and new parenting experiences are very, very different for the pregnant person versus their partner. If you're the one who's physically carrying the baby, you may have had what I like to call, unless I'm sleeping, I'm puking sickness early on. Your belly may be expanding at what seems like an alarming rate. You feel there's a butterfly flitting around inside of you, and this eventually morphs into a scurrying mouse, and then finally becomes the undulating waves of a snake confined in a space too small. You'll likely experience heartburn, aching hips, and sleeplessness, hallmarks of this pregnancy experience. But your partner? Not so much. The non-pregnant partner might be getting a pass for some of the more annoying or challenging aspects of pregnancy, but they also miss out on the super cool aspects that you get to experience, like co-creating another human being, having a really intimate physical connection to this little person from the get-go, being able to bring your baby into the world, and then potentially feed it from your own body for the first 6 months of its life. The trade-offs are both challenging and completely worth it, in my opinion. There's often a disconnect for the partner that's rarely, if ever, talked about. Why? Because your partner doesn't want to appear to be an idiot. In all the births I've supported and in all the classes I've taught over the years, it's clear to me that the baby is theoretical, at least to the partner. The baby doesn't exist in any real sense until the moment of birth. In two of the movies I show in class, the partner says something like, "It was amazing to see what was inside of her this whole time," or, "When I could see that it was a real human being and it was ours to raise, it was incredible." These comments usually elicit, "You've got to be kidding me," laughs from the group. But I've seen it on the faces of partners when their baby's being born. They're thinking to themselves, "Holy crap, there really was a baby inside of you this whole time." The partner will never say this out loud, by the way, because, duh, of course there was a baby inside of you the whole time. They went to the ultrasounds, they heard the heartbeat, they felt the movements, but still. If you ask the partner to imagine a baby, oftentimes the image that they bring to mind is actually that of a toddler. Someone they can take a walk with and push in a swing. Someone that will babble and laugh at their attempts to make them smile. Their minds often skip over the newborn period completely. These differences in experience between you and your partner matter. Why? Because if you're the pregnant person, you've had almost a year's head start on the whole parenting process. And not to be too gendered about it, you may have also had more opportunities to babysit as a young person than your partner did. On top of this, the pregnant person is assumed to be better or more qualified for parenting because society tells us this in subtle and not so subtle ways. The person who gives birth is typically afforded more time off postpartum. Not enough time, mind you, but still. So you'll likely end up spending more time with your baby as the primary caregiver, which affords you loads of time to make a bunch of mistakes and then learn from those mistakes. What works and what doesn't work. If you're planning on breastfeeding your baby, you have another advantage in new parenting as babies like to cuddle up for both food and comfort, which can lead your partner to believe that the baby prefers you over them. This is not to deny the mountains of work that you'll be dealing with as your body recovers from pregnancy and birth. I've done this 4 times myself, and it is a lot. This is also not to deny that the primary caregiver for the baby carries a mental load that's been well documented and has serious consequences on the new parent's emotional health and well-being, as well as the couple relationship long-term. But despite these truths, partners can still end up feeling discounted and left out of the pregnancy, birth, and especially new parenting experiences. There's often a sense of helplessness, both innate and potentially learned, in this new parenting gig. They might feel like they're not up to the task, and we might secretly, or not so secretly, feel the same. When I saw my husband struggling to hold my goddaughter while she was sleeping, all too quickly, I transferred that to mean he wouldn't be able to step up into his new role as dad, and that I would end up having to teach him to do all the things. Thank God I realized how wrong I was and didn't put myself into the role of resident parenting expert. Caring for your own baby 24/7 is nothing like being a full-time nanny. It's not at all reminiscent of being the oldest of six siblings. It is entirely different than managing a team of 20 in a high-powered corporate environment. Caring for a baby is likely to be the hardest job you'll ever have to do because it never ends. But if you can have a partner that's your equal and doesn't feel like they're the runner-up in this parenting gig, the whole family benefits. Partners need to be welcomed into their role as parent. A couple of considerations. Remember that they become a parent for real the moment they see the baby come out of you. You've had a head start on this whole thing, so help them catch their breath, let it sink in that they just became a parent, and get over the shock of it all. They're unlikely to admit that this is their experience, trust me. For most partners, this is their reality. Let them have the baby after the first feeding so they can get in on that skin-to-skin magic. It's not just for you and the baby. An hour of uninterrupted skin-to-skin contact between your partner and the baby within the first 24 hours of life can literally change their brain architecture. They move from, "This is my baby," to, "This baby is mine," and it greatly enhances their connection and bonding from the get-go. Maybe the grandparents can wait a while before they show up to help. I'd suggest a couple of weeks if you think they can hold off that long. This allows for a period of trial and error where the two of you get to figure this stuff out together without any outside influence. There will be many false starts, lots of mistakes, plenty of times where you both wish your moms were there to take care of you while you take care of the baby. But it's during this time that your partner can ease into their new role without a very loving and caring mother or mother-in-law swooping in to save the day. When this happens, it only extends the learning curve for the partner, which can lead to alienation and lack of self-confidence as a new parent. Ask your partner to choose at least one caregiving task they would like to get really good at doing. Remind them that you'll be doing the bulk, if not all, of the feedings at first, so that leaves just about everything else up for grabs. Do they want to master the diaper change routine and get it down so well that they can do it in the overnight hours with only a nightlight as their guide? Go for it. How about bath time? Can they show you how to get that slick baby body from dirty to clean on the regular? I'm 100% sure that they can. What about making sure that you're well hydrated and well fed by stocking a feeding nook for you on every level of the house that has easy access to water, a snack you can hold in one hand, and the remote nearby? You'll be loving on them all day long for being so thoughtful. Can they commit to wearing the baby and taking the dog out for a walk when they first get home? What an awesome way to give you a break and get some cuddles in at the same time. There are so many ways that your partner can get involved at the outset of this parenting gig, which will become very, very real for them the moment the baby enters the world. But we need to remember to welcome them into this role. Ask them right away for their help and encourage them to take on tasks that are quite literally too much for us in the early days and weeks of new parenting. We need to be curious about this new parenting gig, looking to create a parenting team with our partner rather than isolate ourselves as the expert in all things baby. We need to allow for learning to occur, which means a lot of mistakes will be made, and that's okay. But we should also set the bar high for our partners. They want to be involved parents, and if we make space and welcome them into their new role, they'll see your bar and blow past it. No surprise. Back to my limboing husband. A couple of months later, after a very long and intense labor with my guy by my side the whole time, we welcomed our firstborn daughter into the world. I have a picture of him from the first hour or so after her birth. He's holding her securely, confidently, with one arm, gazing at her with an expression of pure love and delight. And if you didn't know it, you'd swear that he was the pediatrician. My husband took on his role of dad wholeheartedly, albeit not until the moment our daughter came into the world, and he's been rocking it ever since. I hope the same will be true for your, potentially, limbo-loving partner. I'll admit it. I've always loved guys. I was a big tomboy as a kid and could be found outside either climbing a tree, playing with crawdads, digging up night crawlers to go fishing with my brothers, or choosing the teams for neighborhood football games. I played with boys all the time. I even had an imaginary friend, Tommy, that I used to play with for hours on end because he saved me from having to play dolls with either of my sisters. The irony of ending up in this profession is not lost on me. As a childbirth educator, so much of what I do is associated with women and babies, something you couldn't pay me to be interested in when I was a kid. But I've never stopped loving them, and I think that it's time we do a better job honoring the dad experience. Gone are the days of, go grab a smoke in the waiting room and we'll come get you when the baby's been born. This is a wonderful advance in terms of welcoming partners into the labor room, but I sometimes wonder if the pendulum's been swung too far in the opposite direction without any real thought about what this means for expectant partners. They've now been told, you're it. Get in there and be their everything. But we haven't done our due diligence to check in and find out, one, if they even want to be at the birth, and two, if they feel adequately trained to be the main, and sometimes only, labor support. Often when partners show up to their first childbirth class, they're not super psyched to be there. For a lot of them, they felt left out for much of the pregnancy, and they're worried that these classes will just be more of the same. From a physical standpoint, there's no way that a partner and a pregnant person can experience pregnancy the same way. But this doesn't mean that their experience of the pregnancy should be considered any less important. Sometimes pregnant folks are upset when their partner doesn't react the way they want them to at the news, I'm pregnant! I'm not exactly sure what they're expecting, but if there's any hesitation or a question like, are you sure? Too often the pregnant person assumes this means their partner's not excited, that they don't want the baby, or that they're not ready to become a parent. But most parents, pregnant or not, have a lot of mixed emotions when they find out that there's a baby on board. They're happy, but also completely freaked out. They're excited, but scared to death. They can't wait to meet this little person, but feel super anxious about how the baby will change their relationship. Do pregnant folks cut partners any slack on their initial reaction to the news? They should, especially if the reaction matched their own from 6 hours earlier when they first saw a double line on the pee stick. Partners are often excited about the pregnancy initially, but soon after, no matter how this pregnancy came to be, it sinks in that the partner will need to step up and provide for their family. This societal pressure exists for dads to be in ways that just doesn't for their female counterparts. It doesn't even matter if the birthing person is the one with a better position and bigger paycheck. Dads and partners also worry about whether they'll be able to fill their own parents' shoes or avoid resembling their parents in every way, depending on how they were parented themselves. What I know about today's dads and partners is that they want to be involved, way more involved than their own parents had been before them. They're looking forward to meeting their baby and can't wait to be part of their life, but guess what? They're also unsure of themselves. We just need to do better about welcoming dads and partners into this world of pregnancy and birth. But how does this happen? First, pregnant folks need to include their partners in every aspect of the pregnancy, if they want to be included, that is. Not all partners want to know every little detail. Partners do not become completely different people just because they're going to have a baby with you. Unrealistic expectations of how they'll be during pregnancy can cause a lot of undue stress and strain. Instead, carving out space for them to feel welcomed and accepted into this mysterious and powerful experience of pregnancy and birth goes a long way of helping them feel connected from the start. Partners must be seen as co-creators of this new little person, no matter how the pregnancy came to be, and given the honor and respect that the role of parent deserves. If the partner takes the time to come to appointments, asks questions, and voices their concerns, it's important that the provider and staff make direct eye contact and answer the partner. Partners who say they feel ignored or invisible during the pregnancy is just not okay. Prenatal education classes must address the unique needs of dads and partners in a way that's honest, real, but never condescending. Their role needs to be elevated so they understand how important it is to the overall success of this pregnancy, birth, and parenting experience. It's not enough to tell partners how important their presence is for the laboring person. They need to know that no one else can claim the emotional connection they share with both the birthing person and the baby. Partners need to be prepared for all the different emotional responses they might have to the birth itself. The physical aspect of helping their partner through contractions will not be the biggest challenge for them. But watching the person they love most in the world struggle as they move through contractions will likely be one of the hardest emotional experiences of their lives. Partners don't have to be their everything in birth. They don't have to try and be the doula. They just need to be there, present and available for every contraction. The partner's role during the birth is similar to how they've been showing up during the pregnancy. They've probably held some hair back once or twice while the pregnant person threw up. They've listened when it's been a bad day. They've probably given a million back rubs. All they need to remember for the big day is to keep doing that stuff and maybe a bit more to help the laboring person continue to cope. Basically, they need to be prepared to love the birthing person straight through from the first contraction to the moment of their baby's birth. Just as I feel that every pregnant person is fully capable of giving birth, I feel that every partner is fully capable of providing excellent labor support to the person they love. But I also think that having additional birth support team members might be a great idea, and what's needed for this birth to be a positive memory and birth story worth telling for them both. It might make sense to have a doula there in addition to the partner. I tell pregnant folks in my classes all the time, if you need warm and fuzzy there when you give birth and your partner is not warm and fuzzy, then make sure you bring yourself some warm and fuzzy. Our partner should be allowed to be themselves during the birth, which for some means putting on their catcher's mitt and taking charge of the situation, while for others, it'll mean sitting at the head of the bed, holding hands with the laboring person, and making sure to never look south of the border. There's no right or wrong way to be in birth. But knowing how the partner wants to show up allows the couple to choose the members of their birth support team in a way that's supportive for the entire family, not just the birthing parent. If we want partners to be great parents, we need to welcome them into this experience first. Then we need to acknowledge and honor their role during pregnancy, birth, and parenting. We need to give them the space to explore their own vulnerabilities around becoming a parent, and then support them better in their role as birth support partner. Lastly, we need to explore how and why a doula, as a member of their birth team, can free them up to be fully present during the birth of their baby. In this way, they get to witness their partner's strength, be truly present for the miracle that is their baby's birth, and better prepare to bond and attach to their newborn soon after delivery. I love partners. Sometimes as much, sometimes even more, as I love the pregnant people they're supporting. Have you felt like your role as an expectant partner has been honored? In what ways are you feeling welcomed into this world of pregnancy and birth? What changes need to happen so that you feel more included? As a Becoming Us facilitator, I plant a lot of seeds for my expectant families about their transition to new parenthood, so it might go as smoothly as possible. But this isn't new. That's how I've always taught my childbirth prep classes, at least since the birth of our first child. Because I recognize that this is a life-changing event, folks. And I don't think we're doing families justice in preparing them for all the changes that will be happening to them as individuals, as a couple, as part of their extended family, and as part of our larger culture. The challenges parents have with their own sense of identity and self-esteem as they move into their new roles, it's real, y'all. Parents definitely do not receive a boost to their self-esteem from our larger society. And the idea that raising the next generation could be worn as a badge of honor isn't a part of our cultural identity any longer. In a society that elevates the material world, where success is measured in dollars and cents, the work parents do to raise their children doesn't even make it into our collective consciousness. It's barely recognized, let alone given any external value. So one of the seeds I plant about becoming a parent is to think of it as a new job. The job. The one you've been focused on getting for the past year at least, maybe longer. And then you land that job. And it's the hardest freaking job you've ever had. The hours suck. There's no pay, no vacation time. Your mentors aren't all that helpful because they were trained about 25 to 30 years ago, and things have changed a lot. There are too many different manuals with conflicting information about every aspect of this job, so you just stop reading them. If you're lucky, you have a coworker to help you, but guess what? They were hired the exact same day you were, and they don't know any more than you do about the right way to get this job done. Plus, they're as sleep-deprived and resentful of the no-pay policy as you are, so morale in the office is really low. But the worst part of the job? You don't get to have regular job reviews with a supervisor that can sit you down, talk with you about what a great job you're doing, provide helpful feedback with some of the challenges you've been facing, and ultimately encourage you to keep going. That the job you've taken on as a parent matters, that it has meaning. When we come from a world where we get regular pats on the back for a job well done, getting thrown into being responsible for your newborn's life without any feedback can be hard. And in some ways, it can be harder on men who are becoming fathers because culturally, we're still coming to grips with the more involved dad image and how different this is today from generations past. Men today who really do want to be more involved might not have the strongest role model in their own father. They might feel like they're playing catch up to their partner who was encouraged in their role since they were young through stereotypical ideas of nurturance and play. But studies show that the identity and self-esteem of both parents take a hit when they take on this new role. They're often floored by how much they don't know about parenting, by the amount of on-the-job training that comes along with the decision to have a baby, and they often feel like they have to defend their parenting choices and be ready to criticize any that don't match their own, all in an effort to lessen their feelings of vulnerability. I think waiting for our culture to provide parents with a pat on the back for a job well done is a long trial of patience, and I'm not sure it's worth waiting for. We might hope that our own families will step up, but then be disappointed and not ever receive that positive feedback from our own parents. Everybody gets transformed when a new member of the family is born, including the grandparents, and this can cause some intergenerational issues. So I don't think we should be waiting for them to tell us what great parents we are either. Still, we have to address this issue of identity and self-esteem in our new roles as parents, and I think we need to look to our partner for a solution. Our partner is the only person on this planet that understands the level of sacrifice, the long hours, the hard work, and the immense love that we have for our children. They're the only ones that can provide us with feedback as to how we're doing in our new job. Take the time to let them know that you think they're doing a great job as a parent to your shared work project. Try as hard as you can to avoid blame, shame, and calling of names. Because remember, this job will become exponentially harder on both of you if you end up doing it by yourself from two different job sites. Instead of telling your partner what they could do better next time, focus on what it is they're already doing well. When I have couples in class practicing contractions in preparation for labor and birth, I tell the pregnant folks how to provide effective and constructive feedback. First, they share with their partner at least one thing that they did well, something that they loved. Then, and only then, they can follow up with, "Do you know what would make that even better?" It is so hard to keep going in this job of parenting, in any job, really, if all you ever hear is what you're doing wrong. try to keep your focus on what it is that your partner's doing that's right as a parent. We need to know that the person who's intimately connected with the work that we're doing day in and day out respects us and the tireless work we do to parent our newborn, toddler, tween, teenager, and young adult. Because y'all, it never ends, this parenting gig. And to have a committed partner in parenting makes this job so much more enjoyable and rewarding. So tell your partner one thing today that you love about them as a parent. It has the potential to boost their parenting identity and self-esteem so much more than you'll ever know. Here's something you can do with your partner that will not only boost your self-esteem as parents, but also bring you both back to the beginning, the why you thought it would be a good idea to start a family with one another. Find a quiet time where the two of you can be free from distraction during the baby's nap time, or maybe as you're just settling in for bed at night. Take a few moments and take three big, deep, slow belly breaths. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth and in and out. And last one in and all the way out. Think back to a time in your life when you were faced with a challenge. It could be one event or three separate events, but think back to a time when you were feeling physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually challenged. An event that pushes us on these four different levels is what I like to call a fully human event. Okay, so you're both thinking of your own fully human events. There's no need to share with one another what the event was or any of the details. But I do want you to identify three personal strengths that helped you move through that challenge. Was it your resilience, your sense of humor, your dedication, or perseverance? You can reference the personal strengths chart on today's show notes if need be. I want you to choose three strengths that you know you can lean on when times are tough and write them down. Take whatever amount of time you need to discover these strengths, and if you're having a hard time identifying them, think of someone who loves you very much. And guess what they would say three of your strengths are? Now, there's power in claiming these strengths by writing them down, so don't skip this step. And once you've identified your three strengths, share them with one another. Now turn your focus to your partner and think about their personal strengths and identify two of them for me. Number one, what personal strength does your partner possess that you are so grateful that they bring to your parenting relationship? Is it their patience, their loyalty, their love of adventure? Write that down. Number two, what personal strength does your partner possess that you're hoping your baby will inherit from them? Again, you can always reference the personal strengths chart in the show notes as a guide. Now, I want you to share those strengths with one another. Appreciate how you are different, and that each of you brings different strengths to this parenting relationship. Remember the why you thought it might be a good idea to start a family with your partner. Be grateful that you have a partner who's willing to keep saying yes to raising the next generation with you. I put a call out to dads to answer a few questions about their experience of becoming a father. Number one, on a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous were you about becoming a dad? Number two, when did the baby become real for you? And number three, how long did it take to feel bonded with your newborn? Here's a few of their responses. Chris, dad to Obi, said he was an 11 on the scale. It took him about 2 to 3 days into parenting before Obi became real to him. And if he's being honest, at 3 months in, Chris is still waiting to feel that bond with his son. Alex, Henry's dad, was an 8 on the scale. He'd never been around babies before, but his wife had a ton of experience with them. So he was worried that he might let her down and not be a good dad. He knew that their lives would be disrupted, and that was okay. But what he didn't know was how his life would change day to day, and that scared him. Henry didn't become real until he was born. But at that moment, Alex felt like he was his baby, not just a picture on an ultrasound, and he was overwhelmed with love. It was incredibly powerful. Alex felt bonded right away. There was now this tiny person who lived in his home who was so precious and defenseless and innocent. And he just wanted to do everything in the world to make him and his wife safe, healthy, and happy. Pete, dad to Nolan, says that knowing what he does now, he should have been a 12 out of 10. But pre-baby, he felt more like a 7. His son became real after the first rush of adrenaline wore off post-birth, which means sometime the next day because Nolan was born in the middle of the night. But the baby became even more real once they left the hospital and got home. Pete's partner weighed in to say that she noticed the bond between them really solidifying around 5.5 months into parenting. Jim, Papa to Katya, felt like he was an 8 out of 10 on the nervousness scale. His daughter was also not real to him until she came into the world, and Katya was about 8 months old before he felt that strong bond with his daughter. Scott, father to Fitz, says that on the scale he figures he was a 7 out of 10 pre-birth, but not about the baby. He was more nervous about how this baby would affect his relationship with his wife. As he notes, babies are easy, spouses can be tough. For Scott, the baby became real to him when he could finally see his son's kicks in the womb from the outside. Scott also felt that he bonded instantly with Fitz, right at the moment of birth. Corey says that at the very first news that he was going to be Lacey's daddy, he was stoked. But that as pregnancy progressed, he became more nervous about finances and where they were living. He was more anxious about being able to provide for his family than about the baby. For Corey, it sunk in that Lacey was his baby at about 3 months. Once she was more interactive and smiling, it made it easier for him to cope with being a new dad. But it took him about 7 months to feel fully bonded with his baby. The shock of not feeling nurturing or able to soothe the baby was really hard for him. He eventually sought out professional help because he knew what kind of a dad he wanted to be. Corey would love for other dads to hear this message. If you feel like you need help in your role as a new parent, seek it out. It's the best thing you could ever do for your relationships with your partner and your child. I want to thank the following dad-baby pairs for helping me out with today's episode. Chris and Obi, 3 months old. Alex and Henry, 5 months old. Pete and Nolan, 8 months old. Jim and Katya, 8 months old. Scott and Fitz, 11 months old. And Corey and Lacey, 11 months old. It was so helpful to hear about the differences and the similarities of expecting and new dad experiences. Thanks, guys. I'm so excited to have done an episode that focused on the important role dads have as parents. It's an issue that's near and dear to my heart because of the examples I've witnessed in my own father, my brothers as dads to their children, and Roberto co-parenting our four children together. I know what's possible. It's a beautiful thing to see men step into the role of father and wholeheartedly say yes to raising the next generation. But the only way this can happen is when we step out of the way and encourage them to parent in their own unique style. Studies continue to point to the positives of having two involved and loving adults who parent very differently from one another. Remember, there's hardly ever an actual right way to do this thing. There's just your way. Y'all, my dad died in March of 2021, just shy of his 90th birthday. I'm forever grateful that my mom assumed correctly that he would be an amazing father to all six of us as we grew from infancy to adulthood. And I feel incredibly blessed that my father would consider his job title as dad the most important one he ever held in his life. Here's to you, Dad. I love you. Whether you had an awesome dad as a role model for your parenting journey, or you're making it all up from scratch, know that I get it. There are unique challenges for men when they become fathers. If you'd like others to get it too, head on over to wherever you listen to your podcasts, hit that subscribe button, and if you're feeling it and you've got the time, write a review. I'd love for other new or expecting dads to feel seen and heard. Be sure to check out the show notes and resources from today's episode, and I look forward to connecting with you again next time on Birth Happens.